Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Just before this passage, Jesus notices a woman who is a widow and who's barely getting by. And he sees how she puts two small coins into the temple offering. And Jesus says that she has put in more than all of those who've given out of their abundance. For she has put in all she had to live on. She's given it all to God. Jesus notices her and directs his listeners to pay attention to her extravagant generosity. But these listeners are quickly distracted, and as our reading began, they don't spend any time thinking about her or her gift. Instead, they are in awe of the beauty and the impressiveness of the temple building. It might invite us to ask ourselves, what catches our attention? What brings us to be in awe? Where do we find our security? Jesus' listeners are in awe of the temple building, and then he says, there will come a time when not one stone will be left, it'll all be thrown down. And by the time the Gospel of Luke is written, Jesus' words here have already come true. So the first people hearing this gospel would have been living this reality. In the year 70, the Roman military responded to a Jewish revolt, and the Roman military massacred the people in Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. All is thrown down. One of my former classmates, Kendra Moen, she has a commentary about this passage, and she points out that the Jerusalem temple was truly an impressive sight that was meant to show power and dominance. But she goes on to say that it was expanded and created by a ruler, by Herod, whose power was marked by instability and paranoia. So Herod built the temple with large stones and impressive structures, not for God, but as an attempt to show his own power when he felt vulnerable. So it was built out of feelings of instability and paranoia, and it all gets destroyed anyway. So what does catch our attention? What are the things that bring us to awe? Where do we find our security? Jesus' listeners, as they hear about the temple possibly being destroyed, they want to know what signs to watch for. Like, when is this going to happen? And of course, Jesus won't answer those questions. Instead, he gives a timeless warning. He says, "Beware that you are not led astray." And then his words are pretty gloomy. He says, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes and famines and plagues." And these things have been happening ever since Jesus spoke those words and even before he spoke those words. If we look around at our world scene today, it seems we're living these words right now. According to the World Food Program, right now in 67 different countries, 319 million people are facing acute hunger. And 70% of those people are hungry due to conflict or violence. We human beings cannot seem to do the things that make for peace. This past week, I read an article about regular violence that's happening in another nation, and this conflict is happening between two distinct groups of people. For one group, on a couple different occasions, women were attacked and terribly injured. For one of them, someone tried to help her, and then that person was attacked and had to go to the hospital. And that person who tried to help said, "I never imagined a human being created by God would do this." And these attacks are becoming more common. So they also interviewed someone from that second group, from the same cultural group as those who are doing the attacks. And when this person was questioned about the violence, he said, "It's amazing to me how people talk about these," he calls them rare occasions. These acts of violence that are happening regularly, he says, are rare occasions. And here's how he characterizes them. He said, "When people misbehave." When asked about the specific instances and the near daily reports, he dismissed them as an attempt to make his own people look bad. And then he talked about how he fears the people from this group and believes that the first chance they get, he says, they are going to wipe us out. I share that story because all of us, to some extent, we are in danger of getting so led astray by our own biases, and believing that those who are most like us are always in the right. We're in danger of placing our trust in things that are not worthy of our trust. When we are moved by our biases or our fears, it can cause us to find our security or to be impressed by people or things that aren't worthy of that level of attention and devotion. So what catches our attention? Where do we find our security? I think we all know that we live in a world that knows all too much evil. And as I mentioned in children's time, in our first reading for today from the book of Malachi, Malachi looks ahead toward the end of that evil. And according to one scholar, what that evil looks like throughout the book of Malachi is this. The book of Malachi describes evil as the actions of people who place economic gain over worship of their God. And they place keeping the best for themselves over what would have provided for people who have no means to provide for themselves. So Malachi describes that as evil, and then here in our reading today looks towards an end of that evil. And as the scholar Kristen Wendland puts it, she writes that evil will be rooted out. On the day of the Lord, evil will lose its power. Those who wield it will no longer be able to do so. And this final promise is good news, partly because it's the Lord who's acting as judge, not humans. And then Malachi ends with this promise of healing, which is compared to the warmth of the sun, that the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And we didn't get to read the last part of this verse today, but it compares those who trust in the Lord to calves leaping in the stalls, like that we will have that kind of joy. So if this is our future hope, if it's for healing for people and joy in God and God's righteousness shining on us like the sun's rays, if that's our future hope, then that shapes how we are going to live today, that we will go out and live as people who try to live out healing for one another and God's righteousness and God's goodness for all people right now. Every one of us here, we have different challenges that we face. And Jerome wrote that none of us can avoid these challenges. But the question is how we as people of faith are going to respond and where we find our refuge, where we find our security. We go back to our gospel reading today. Jesus told his listeners that they are going to face trials, and they're not to prepare their defense in advance. Kendramon suggests that they're not expected to be capable of providing a sufficient defense. But Jesus promises that the defense will come anyway from God's presence right in the midst of them. And then the virtue that's lifted up isn't acquittal from being on trial. It's not an eloquent defense of the faith. But what gets lifted up is endurance. How our reading ended with this last verse, that by your endurance, it's endurance in the faith, that virtue that gets lifted up, sticking with it when it is not easy. And we get to live this enduring faith together. I had an interesting conversation with some students recently, and they asked, should I keep reading my Bible if it's just out of routine? If I just feel like I'm going through the motions because it's become a habit, what a great habit to have, right? But they're like, should I keep reading my Bible if I feel like I'm not really into it, or should I wait until I feel moved by the faith and do it then? I thought, what a great question, right? Should I read it just out of routine, or read it when I really feel moved and I'm going to get something out of it? And we talked about, again, faith practices, that we practice things when we feel like it and we practice it when we don't. And sometimes these faith practices, like, we do keep doing them, whether it's reading the Bible or worship or serving or being generous or praying. Sometimes we do them and we're like, I didn't get anything out of that today. But we keep doing them because we never know when the Holy Spirit's going to show up in a big way or do something new in our lives. We keep going through the motions, the routine, the practice of faith, because it helps us stay grounded in God. In a world that knows all too much evil and bad stuff happening, it's this constant way of being reminded that we belong to Jesus now and forever. I think about the thank offering that is led by the women across our Lutheran church every year. It started in the 1800s, and they have this routine of leading worship, and they have this routine of inviting us to give towards mission, but it all comes out of thankfulness, that they set aside this one Sunday of giving thanks to our God, this practice of turning to God and giving thanks when there's so many things in the world that distract us from finding thankfulness. And it ties in really well with something Pastor Eric did with our 7th through 9th grade youth this past week. He had each of us, he talked about how we are God's masterpiece. It comes from the book of Ephesians. And we each were given a sheet of paper. And on that paper, we didn't know what it was going to look like, but we wrote things we're thankful for, and then we colored our sheet of paper. And as we colored, we talked about practices of gratitude and the things we're thankful for. And then we came back together, and all our sheets of paper came together to make this sign that we are thankful. And it's hanging in our fellowship hall now. Each of us created by our God to come together and make something even more beautiful. And isn't that who we're to be as the church? We are brought into God's ministry together to create beautiful things in the world, far more beautiful than what any of us could do on our own. A little over a week ago, we had our All Saints Remembrance Worship on a Wednesday evening. And part of that worship was we each got to light a candle for someone we wanted to remember who had died. But then we also added in, we each wrote the name of someone who is still living on a leaf as a way of giving thanks for the living cloud of witnesses who encourage us in our faith and support us. And we look at their faithfulness and they help us keep going in our own. And we came forward and we hung our leaves on the trees here. They were up front here. And we gave thanks for each person that we named. And it may not look like it, but there's over 100 leaves on those trees. So they were up here, and I moved them back. And as I did, some fell off, so I needed to put them back on. And I happened to read the names of some of those leaves, the names on them. And some of you here today, your names are on that tree. There's names of many people who go through the motions of faith, who endure in living faithfully, regardless of what challenges they face or what the world throws at them. So as we leave here today, we can ask, this week, what is going to catch our attention? What is going to move us to awe this week? Where will we find our security? In how we live, might we be people who live in such a way that we remind each other that we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, who goes with us now and forever, no matter what challenges we are going to face. Thanks be to God. Amen.